Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota with a Cup of Goodness program this morning. We are looking at program 91. We are going to continue with Jeremiah, looking at the way things were falling apart for the Jews. They're falling apart the same way for the Gentiles, for the Church of God even. And I hope you didn't mind the music in yesterday's program. I just didn't have time last night to get stuff put together. But we do have time, and I'm rested, and so let's get into this thing this morning. What we're looking at here is we're going back to Jeremiah, especially in Jeremiah. We'll be doing Ezekiel here pretty soon, a couple of verses in Ezekiel. We've done a couple of things in Isaiah. When the Jews were not listening to Jeremiah, and he was telling his people that they are rejecting the very words of God. We have the same thing taking place today, except now it's the Gentiles that are no longer interested in the goodness of God. So what I'm doing is we're looking back in Jeremiah and Isaiah, a little bit of Ezekiel, to see how it was that as God put the words in Jeremiah's mouth, how to say what needed to be said, we can take those same words of warning and we can apply them, not in the fashion of they're written to us, but with what he said to the Jews, to the Israelites, to God's people, we can see God wanting to say the same thing to the Gentiles. It's an amazing comparison, and they're full of great similarities. And I don't know anybody else, obviously, who says things better than God himself. And I know he says them only in the King James Bible. The rest of the Bibles have taken the words of God and have Englished them up, Americanized them, just taken God right out of them. So we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 7. We're going to look at a list of things here this morning that I think is just, I've seen this for years, and I see it more and more today. So, let's just jump right into this thing. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 34. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 11. Jeremiah 16, verse 9. And Jeremiah 25, verse 10. All these four verses say very similar things. And we're going to come up with a list of things that we're going to see that God was taken away. He was taking these things away. He was taking these voices away from the Jews, from the Israelites. And I see these things disappearing in our country today. I think we all know there's something wrong. I think we all know what those things are that are wrong. I don't believe that these things are happening because America's turning its back on Israel. We turned our back on Israel when we turned ourselves away from the King James Bible. So if you look at Romans chapter 11, America is not suffering these things because of what we've rejected Israel over. We've rejected the truth to Israel for years. If anybody ever talks to Israel or the nation of Israel from America, there's nothing that's going on that would reflect upon the goodness of God whatsoever. And the blessing of Abraham, as people would say, I just kind of winging this thing. Let's go to just a bunny trail here. If we go to Romans chapter 4, we see here in verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, talking about Abraham. And it says here, it's in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, where it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. The promise in Genesis chapter 12, that if we bless Israel, then God will bless that nation. That's an Old Testament thing. That is not what God is talking about to the Gentiles today. I'm looking at Galatians chapter 3 real quick, like here, before we get into the main subject here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 here, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham, faith, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's the Gentiles, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So this promise of Abraham is not based on America blessing Israel with its money and jets and war things. And these people that want to say that the Katrina and the floods and all the stuff that's taken place pretty much happened at the time that we turned on Israel, that's just, again, Old Testament gospel type thinking. what God gave to Abraham, he's going to give to us, and that's his faith. So these people that are saying that this whole thing is being based on how we treat Israel, the condition of our country today, that's baloney. What's happening is we are rejecting and have rejected the words of God and the goodness of God. And what Jeremiah was teaching his people was they rejected the words of God. We're doing the same thing today. We're trying to get people to realize that they have rejected the very words of God. And as a result, by going back to the Great Commission, even the Bible guys, even the King James guys, are getting all mixed up because they're going back to the Great Commission, rejecting Paul, rejecting the risen Savior then, which means they're rejecting the goodness of God. And as they continue to do that more and more, Romans 11:22, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God, and them which fell severity, that's the Jews, I always tell you this, but toward thee, speaking to the Gentile nation, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. So the falling away is falling away from the risen Savior's teachings. The falling away is falling away from Paul's teachings. The falling away is falling away from the very word and words of God, King James Bible. And as these things are falling apart, and this country is just crumbling more and more and more, just read the paper, all the things that are going on. The tribulation is just getting closer and closer and closer. So as this happens, Jeremiah was saying the same thing to his people, and they were getting closer and closer to Nebuchadnezzar and his reign, which, old Nebi, he's a type of Antichrist. So we can learn from Jeremiah how God told his people what they're doing. The Gentiles are doing the same thing. Did that 5-minute introduction make sense to you? Well, let's just try it. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 7, and I'll show you some of these, I'll show you these verses. And we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 things that are disappearing from America that have always been here in the past, but are fading away and not going quickly. Here we go. Let's go to Jeremiah 7, verse 34. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem. Here we go. The voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. Now we know what this country is going to be like, what this world is going to be like during the tribulation. Read about it in Matthew. You can read about it in the book of Revelation. A lot of desolation going to be taking place. A lot of things that are going to be happening physically to this land that has never happened before. So he says here, the voice of mirth. Mirth is joy. You know, the happiness, the joy. So the voice of mirth will be gone. The voice of gladness will be gone. The voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. Okay? Let's see. Mirth, gladness, bridegroom, bride. Who are we talking about here? Well, let's keep going here. Let's go to Jeremiah 33. There's a few more things we can add to this list. Jeremiah 33, verse 11. Here we go. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. So Jeremiah was telling these people, listen, God's going to take away our joy. God's going to take away the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts. For the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. So these are the things that are disappearing from this country. Am I correct? The voice of mirth, the joy, the mirth, the happiness in this country. Second thing, gladness. Have you recognized that gladness just doesn't seem to be there anymore? And how about the voice of the bridegroom? Well, who's the bridegroom? Well, Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. What does this country not hear anymore? It doesn't hear the voice of the bridegroom. And what about the bride? How many Christians are witnessing the truth today? Very few. Now, here, this is interesting stuff. Got to think a little bit for this one. Them that shall praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. What is that referring to? What do people think about God today? They think severity. They think he's not real. They're missing the goodness of God. They have no clue what the goodness of God is. So what do we have leaving this country more and more? Those people, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, in Jeremiah's day, you know, keep track of the fact that righteousness was their righteousness, and the Lord was good to those people if they did the right thing, and he had mercy. We have more than God's mercy today. We have more than God's grace. We have God's goodness. There's a difference there. We'll talk about that one of these days. And then the other thing it says here, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. What's going on in our churches today when it comes to music, when it comes to praise? They may say they're praising God. But if you do just a short study of music, you will realize that when Paul talks about making... Here, let's go to Ephesians. He says in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Making what? Melody. If a person understands the language of music at all, he should recognize that the element of music that's taking place in our churches today is most often based on rhythm. There's three elements of music: rhythm, harmony, and melody. God wants to hear the melody. And the element of music that is pervading, that has invaded our churches today, is the element of rhythm. It's the beat. It's the rock beat. It's the hillbilly beat. It's the jazz beat. It's the upbeat. It's the offbeat. That's what's pumping our churches with music today. So we can honestly see here that them that shall bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, that's not happening anymore. Now again, the house of the Lord today is not the local church. But let's just pretend that the church building is where God is at, like they say, and look at what they've brought into the church building. Well, where's God today? God is in us. Okay? And so, what are people bringing in to the house of the Lord when it comes to music, when it comes to praise? What are people listening to? What are we feeding ourselves? What are we pumping ourselves with that we enjoy? It's the beat. It's the rock beat. It's the jazz beat. It's the off beat. It's the upbeat. And again, if you don't understand the language of music, it's one of those things where you don't understand the voice of music, the language of music, then you're like a barbarian unto them, and they're like a barbarian unto you. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 14. So what we're seeing so far is we see the voice of mirth, the joy, it's going away. The gladness, it's going away. The voice of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, the wholesome words of Jesus Christ, Timothy calls it. The voice of the bride, you know, the Christians, what are the Gentiles talking to people about today? Who's telling the truth about they're doing the Great Commission, they're doing missionary work, but what are they talking about? They're giving them the false gospel. Then it says here, for them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. They're not talking like that anymore. And then they talk about, then it says here, them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We're not giving God the right kind of music that pleases him. The music we listen to, the music we hear, quenches and grieves the Spirit of God. It can cause other people to stumble. It's not expedient. It's a power in us. People can't stop it. Those are the strings that are attached to our liberty. You can listen to anything you want to listen to. But really, does it please the Lord? Do you know enough about music to whether it pleases the Lord or not? Okay, let's keep going here. Jeremiah 16. Let's go to Jeremiah 16. Let's go to verse 9. Here we go. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. So this is all about God. It's all about Israel. And God took severity to Israel. Gentiles today, we get the goodness of God. He says, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes, and in your days, the voice of mirth, there it is again, and the voice of gladness, there it is again, the voice of the bridegroom, there it is again, and the voice of the bride. And it shall come to pass, now let's read on one verse here, and it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, tell Jeremiah to show him what he's saying here, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? For what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? They, in Jeremiah's day, they didn't even know what they were doing wrong. And then Jeremiah is supposed to say in verse 11 to these people, "Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, unto the, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. And ye have done worse than your fathers, for behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me." Ours today isn't because we're rejecting the law. It's because people today are rejecting the goodness of God. Christ takes care of the law. There's that liberty today. And yet, that's the goodness of God. And yet, people today, they're rejecting that. Thank you, pastors. Thank you, preachers. Thank you, teachers. Thank you, denominational pastors and preachers. Thank you, Baptist pastors. I'm getting ready to do a message here, a program here, on some pastors that we're starting to finally hear from a little bit. And this should be an interesting thing for those of you that are paying attention to what's going on here. Program number 91, I think we're into today, and I tell you, we've had 91 interesting programs that you really wish other people would hear. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Jeremiah 25, verse 10. Jeremiah 25, 10. I'm going to add a few things to this list here. Moreover, verse 10. I will take from them the voice of mirth, there it is, the voice of gladness, there it is, the voice of the bridegroom, there it is, and the voice of the bride. Okay, now we've heard this so far in the other three references, but here's two more. The sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. So what we're seeing today is, the voice of mirth is disappearing from our country. The voice of gladness is going away. The voice of the bridegroom is virtually gone to people in our churches. The voice of the bride. Them that praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. Them that shall bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We're letting our music destroy us here. And then the sound of the millstones. That's jobs. That's employment. Sound of the millstones. That's going away. Well, look at what's going on in our country when it comes to the employment. So jobs are getting sent away. Either they're canceling because of robots, they're canceling because of drones, they're canceling because of the economy. People get fired for doing some little thing wrong at work, and you lose your job. And it's all based on money, which we could go to Paul and Timothy, and we could see where the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money, not just money, but the love of money, root of all evil. People, there's all sorts of warnings right in there. And then lastly, here, the light of the candle. Well, what's the candle here? Well, Revelation, the church, the candles. So what's being taught in our local churches today? The light? Not at all. They're moving forward with darkness. And it's getting darker and darker. The praise of music is gone. Is music for themselves, for their own flesh. Preaching about the Lord is good is going away, fading away. Jobs are disappearing. Church has nothing to say anymore. The voice of mirth is going away. Gladness is disappearing from our nation. There is no voice of the bridegroom in people's lives anymore. The bride isn't even talking about anything anymore. That's what's going on. And we're not in the tribulation yet. We're not in the last days. If we were in the last days, we would be being forced to take the mark. Well, nobody's making me take a mark. But are we in latter times? Sure we are. Paul says in Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." So are we talking last days here? No, we're talking about latter times. We're running out of time. Latter times, let's say, for example, you're a member of a club, and you've been a member of this club, and this club has been around for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years. Have you noticed things have changed? That's because that club's been around so long that it's in its latter times, and it's ready to fold. Okay, so we're looking here at the Gentiles, the dispensation of grace that Paul was given. We're in the latter times. The Spirit speaketh expressly that as we're fading out in this Gentile time, that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. They're quitting. They're leaving. Giving heed to seducing spirits, they're being seduced. They're being tricked. If you keep your mind alert in the Word of God, you won't be tricked. You won't be seduced. What is a good seducing power? Music. Listen, I have been doing music since I was in second grade, which is over 50 years ago, and I understand this music thing. I have to say that. I see what's going on, but I understand the language of music. I understand the history of music. I understand the elements of music. And I see that people are being seduced. The piano music I play are the old hymns. And I got to be careful that some of those old hymns that I play still have some doctrine in them that aren't right. So I try to be aware of that stuff. But there's a seducing spirit. Do the old hymns seduce you? No, because they don't involve your flesh. They don't involve physical. They don't involve the beat. What's going on with people in their music today? They're being seduced into false doctrine because they like the music. It feels good. It's that beat. And doctrines of devils? How about the doctrine of the devil? No, doctrines of devils. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 and 15 talks about those devils to be the pastors and preachers. It does. We're bunny training this thing. How are we doing for time? We got time. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Their own. Human righteousness, not God's righteousness. Romans chapter 4 talks about righteousness of God, of Christ himself being imputed charge to us. That's what Abraham's promise is. Boy, I'm just rambling today. But when he says, in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, we see it happening in music more than anything else. And we also see doctrines of seducing where it makes you feel good, flattery, all this kind of stuff. And then doctrines of devils. Who are these devils? The preachers and pastors in the pulpits today. Woo, that's quite a claim. Well, maybe some pastors will actually finally write me now, and I'm calling them, but they teach doctrines of devils. You mean they're teaching the Great Commission is the doctrine of devils? Sure it is, because they're teaching a false doctrine if it's applied to us today. That was a doctrine given to the Jews during the time of the Gospels and during the Great Commission, and those pastors are supposed to be teaching Paul's ways in everywhere in every church, and they're not. They've turned the doctrine of Jesus to the Jews into the doctrine of Jesus to the Gentiles, and it's wrong. It's of the devil, and they are of the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, 14, and 15. Tell that to your pastor. Okay, where are we at here? We are finishing that. We did Jeremiah. We don't really have time for the verses in Ezekiel. Look them up yourself. We'll talk about them tomorrow. Ezekiel 16, 49, and 50. And you'll see why America is being compared to Sodom, but it's not for the right reason. It's not for the reason you would think. We will talk about that tomorrow. You've got a few extra minutes for some music, so listen up. This is the kind of music that doesn't appeal to your flesh. It appeals to your heart. And if you know about it, it appeals even to your mind. And it pleases God because it's the melody that we emphasize. Anyway, we'll talk to you tomorrow. That was enough to chew on for today.